Yes, sir.
We ready?
Yes, sir.
I call this regular meeting of the Board of Trustees. The date is July 23rd, 2013, and the time is 6:09. Tony, can you please pull the board?
Mr. Coronado?
And Mr. Coronado is sick, as well as Ms. Gonzalez and Ms. Mendoza.
Mr. Medina?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Searles?
Here.
Now I'll take us to the next item.
My pledge of allegiance.
And if we could have Mr. Sergio Gomez come in and lead us into the pledge of allegiance and the taxes and the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. On the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Searles, if you could please take us to the next item, the CIPSC mission statement and the list.
I would be very pleased to. The Kennedy Independent School District will provide a quality education to assure that all students graduate on time, are prepared for higher education, or are workforce ready.
Thank you, Ms. Searles. And now I'll take us to the next item.
Item 2 is Board Honors. Mr. Rebeles.
Board President Rodriguez, Board Members, and Dr. Galaviz, please join me on the steps today. Theater downtown will get a touch of orange and blue all next year when one of our own spends the 2014 season playing with the El Paso Symphony Youth Orchestra. Sergio Gomez, an outgoing eighth grader at Canutillo Middle School and incoming freshman at Canutillo High School, is one of just a handful of student musicians who were selected for this honor. A trumpet player, Sergio was chosen for his tenacity as a player and his natural musical talent. Sergio will spend the next year practicing on a weekly basis with his peers from schools throughout the El Paso region. Moreover, he will get invaluable one-on-one mentoring and training with professional musicians from the El Paso Symphony, a nationally recognized troupe that was the first established orchestra in the state. The end result of these practices will be at least 4 concerts that will be held at either the Plaza Theater or the Abraham Chavez Theater. We are happy to have Canutillo represented it so well. It's more proof that in CISD, we value and promote the fine arts. Sergio, could you please come and greet the board?
Okay,
We also have here in the audience with us Sergio's mother and his teacher from Cantillo Middle School, Ms. Rodriguez, and of course Cantillo Middle School Principal, Dr. Reyes. Please come up as well, take a photograph. Oh, and your little brother too. Oh, he's been told that he's got to be a trumpet player too.
This meeting, right? It's ugly out there.
Did you get a natural?
Yeah, my phone was going off. It has that popping up.
Signed up this evening. Item four is the Finance Audit Facilities Planning Committee meeting report of June 17, 2013. Do you want someone else to provide that other than Mr. Cornell?
Mr. Chair, we met, and unfortunately, Mr. Coronado was not available, so went ahead and led that. We had an audit plan from Mr. Rodriguez regarding what we have planned for the upcoming year, as well as the internal audit charter, which is on tonight's consent agenda, which we recommended for approval, and the internal audit committee charter, which I'm sure this is just a yearly thing that we do. They also updated us on the TEA corrective action plan and its progress. Looks pretty good there. He then followed up with some hotline updates and moved on to planning. We got an update from Mr. Gonzalez regarding the security action. We went ahead and recommended it, but also added that they need to go and put fencing around the ag department in the high school, as well as fencing around Garcia and the entire high school. Then we heard from Garcia Elementary School Principal Ms. Matson regarding requests for school uniforms. They did go through and ask 277 parents in the school district or in their particular territory, and they got a 62% response saying that they'd like to move to school uniforms. We went ahead and recommended that as well. We then moved on to facilities. We had a roundtable discussion with Mr. Goitia, Mr. Ramos. We got a bond project update. At Johnson Controls, update us on the phase of phase two of the Johnson Controls refrigerated air units. We've taken down over 400 units. They did lose a few, but they're in the process of putting all of them up. We did request that they place the update online, which I thank Mr. Dr. Galaviz, that happened right away. Thank you very much for that. We then moved on to the buyer's update of CMS and CES. The process is going good. They were a little delayed on a couple of the projects, but they see no problems moving forward. BMEC then came up and talked about the update of the earthwork packages that they're rubbing the dirt, moving it around, getting the infrastructure ready for the new Reyes campus. We also heard about an El Paso Water Utilities easement request for the Moab Interceptor at Aldoretta Middle School, and that was tabled. So we got further information. What they're trying to do is take an easement from our other school, which would tear up some old trees and tear up our entryway. We then listened to CBAC for some feedback and recommendation, and their recommendation was to award buyers the four campuses left in a small projects bid. Instead of doing a design build, to just go ahead and assign buyers to finish them out. Total of 13 projects, I think that was the recommendation, as well as from Mr. Padilla. He also recommended that as well. We then moved on to financing and purchasing. Our district financials look good. Looks like we collected majority of all our taxes, minus a couple thousand dollars. We had an overview of the grants that we received throughout the year, over $5 million in grants. We recommended also for the request for salvage action at the end of this month. Quite a few things on the block, as well as some of the old air conditioning systems. And they brought to us the vendors as well that are going to exceed certain levels of spending throughout the year, but those are mainly for office supplies, so that was recommended. He brought forth also an extension of membership of purchasing cooperative contracts. We recommend that as well. Food service vendors that are also going to exceed the guidelines, which we learned that high amounts of chorizo was actually purchased in the district. Never heard of that before, so that happens quite a bit. Purchase of college-level textbooks for Northwest Early College High School. We recommend that as well. Purchase of desktop computers for CMS. That was recommended and put forward to the full board. Renewal of cloud backup and disaster recovery services for district data. That was also recommended in case anything disastrous were to happen in the district. Purchase of laptop computers for Northwest Early College High School. I think that's on the consent agenda tonight. That was recommended. And then the payment of travel expenses for the implementation of the asset management program. That was recommended as well. The last thing on the item was to recommend student athlete insurance for the 2013-2014 school year. But we had good participation. We were out there for 2.5 hours. They're going to be here tonight.
Is there any other questions? Was there any other recommendations we might be missing?
At this time, no. Just the recommendations regarding the updated security action regarding the fencing. That really was of important note. The audit charters, obviously, those we talked about. But the purchasing, finance and purchasing had quite a bit of them on there. I think all of them that were put forth were recommended to the board. The small contracts were put forth by CVAC. They recommended after.
What about the pre-K and enrollment letters?
Pre-K, right now, they're still doing groundwork and they're just doing an update. It wasn't really anything large in terms of projects. They're grubbing the land, as they said. For BMAC,
are we on the project, I guess?
On schedule, yes. We're on schedule, and they're actually providing a lot more information than they ever have in terms of the Johnson Controls, one of the largest contracts we've ever signed with the company, the 400-plus air conditioning refrigerated air systems will be up and running before the kids go to school this year. So that's a welcome note, especially. All the kids are going to go there for this home.
I guess if we could get a match on this project.
We did provide. And I don't know if it was provided to you. We did get one. Yeah, we got this large one.
Okay. But if we could just make copies for the packet or put these online too, so that way we can know where we're at and where we're here.
But they did provide quite a bit of information, more so than we ever have. They also simplified the reporting process. Before, we used to get several columns of information. Now it's very simple. What's the budget? What's been expended? It's pretty straightforward, as you can see in your packet.
Okay. Sounds good. No questions for Mr. McGee? Thank you. I'll take this to the next item.
Item 5A, food service report, Ms. Olson.
Developed an array of new menus for all CISD schools to be implemented in the 2013-2014 school year. In your package, you will see the menus in actual size. And the objective here was to provide quality meal service with lots of optionals to reach as many students as possible. As you can see there, we provided you samples. It has a new look. The new look includes that both breakfast and lunch are included in the same menu. It's easy to copy at the schools. I know the principals are going to like this. Also, it's got fun and nutritional messages at the bottom. For right now, what we have is a total of 10 menus. We have three menus, K through 8, 4 at Camarillo High School, and 3 at Northwest Early College. The highlights are, for breakfast, is that we have more optional menus. We're going to have a main menu, and then all these optionals are going to be provided daily. Again, the objective is to reach as many students who want them to go and have breakfast. The lunch optional menus are also for all grades will include chef salads and daily sandwiches. Let's see, one of the things that we went out to do personal surveys with the students, we went to go talk to the culinary art classes and we went to Northwest Early College. And, you know, we listened closely to what they were asking, and one of the things they asked is for fruit juice to come back. I guess at one point we were serving fruit juice as an optional item, so we're going to bring it back. They also requested pizza, so instead of serving it once a month, we're going to serve it twice. And this will be for the high school only. And the reason for that is if the high school students have more, they have a larger range in calories than the younger students. We're offering you green chili picadillo and red chili stew and green chili cheeseburger, and we removed ravioli and mac and cheese. Students said that they were too old for mac and cheese and for ravioli, so we removed them and we gave them a heartier lunch. Last year we didn't provide these menus because there was no nutritional analysis for them. Previously, Canutillo had a test kitchen and they had menus and we provided them. However, with the new regulations requiring us to have nutritionals when we provide these meals, we weren't able to do it. But this year, with the new software programs, we're able to bring in more menus. Okay. Chef salads, like I said before, are going to be offered at all schools. And in addition, we brought a new breakfast. Because of the new breakfast regulations, we brought new items to breakfast. One of the new breakfast items would be strawberry banana French toast. We're going to have boiled eggs, Belgian waffles, pizza bagels, whole wheat bagels, and we're going to have cream cheese, strawberry cream cheese. So those are, you know, optional items that we didn't have before, changes to the breakfast, that I think will add on to what we currently offer. And again, we have those optional menus that if a student doesn't like the main menu, they can always choose their whole cereal or yogurt. And as you see on the bottom in your package, you'll see all those optional menus that we're providing. One of the things that the board asked if we could provide optional menus to Northwest Early College. Okay. And I said, well, we're serving from you know, classroom. And I said, so I went and looked at it. I said, okay, what can we do? I talked to the manager and I talked to my technicians. And what we were able to do is bring in another small line, a two-serving line, and bring in two optionals for the students. And when I went out to talk to the students at Northwest, they really liked the idea. Because what's happening in Northwest is that they're coming in and out for classes, some of them attending the community college, some of them UTEP, and so sometimes they come in late, and those optional menus is really going to help them. And they want that grab and go. Okay, so they really like this idea. I talked to them about it, and they really like it. So how did we get here? Well, there was some work we had to do. First, I had to study the state and federal regulations to determine limitations and compliance. And I have been balancing menus all year long. We met with cafeteria managers all year, every month, looking and discussing and established menus and capacity for improvement. We reached out to established school committees for input on school menus. I would go to the meetings, to the SHAC meetings, and I got some feedback. Because, you know, since I was new in the district, I didn't have a lot of relationships with employees here in the district. And then we established our menu planning committee that included food service staff, because they're on the line, the prep line, principals, parent liaison, and some parents. And then we went out and surveyed early in the year during the health fair, and I presented that to the board. And then later, like I said, I went, my staff and I went out to Northwest Early College and to the Culinary Arts Program, and we actually talked to the students and we surveyed them. And we listened to what they were asking. And then we finally put together the survey electronically. This was a little technical. I had never done a survey, so it took me a little time, and time lapsed, and before we knew it, it was towards the end of the year. However, you know, I have learned, so next time we put together a survey, it's going to go much quicker. Principals were tasked to encourage students to participate at two separate occasions from Martha Guita and Gustavo Rodelas. And so we sent out their request, and because of the lateness of the survey, we did get less participation than we would have liked to see. However, like I said, for next year, we're more prepared because now we know what we have to do. Let me discuss with you the survey highlights. But before I do that, remember that I stated that last year there were some concerns as far as concerns with the cafeteria and the services. I didn't provide you with a copy of their service. I was providing this at the very beginning. It was like my welcome when I got here. As you can see, this survey states that as far as acceptability was around 50%, 50 to 51%, okay? As far as liking the food in the cafeteria most of the days, satisfied with the food, and that they were fine with the quality and taste of the food. So to go to the highlights, it says more participants. Well, the survey highlights stated that there was more participants in elementary schools. And now, surprisingly, 3/4 of the participants said that they do like fresh salads. And of course, we know that some of the favorite items are going to be breakfast pizza, pancakes, whole cereal and yogurt, and some of the favorite lunch items, again, pizza, chicken nuggets, cheeseburgers, and cheese nachos, and that's not very surprising. But I am very happy to say that the survey for those participants that did participate, most of them, at 93% of the survey, gave cafeteria staff a satisfactory or an excellent customer service rating. And most, 89% of the participants said they liked the food in CISD cafeterias either all the time or most of the time. Most, 86% of the participants liked the quality and the taste of the food either all the time or most of the time. And most, 88% of the participants said they had an excellent experience in the cafeteria either all the time or most of the time. Most of the participants at 85% understand that CISD Food Services Department must follow all regulations in serving meals to students, which includes the regulations in dietary specifications and portion sizes. So what we've done is build menus together to provide excellent meals to students and excellent customer service, and that's one of the things that I emphasize all of the time, because we're here to provide a service. We're here to provide service. So what are we doing to do a community outreach to let the community know that we're here to provide that service and what our menus are? Well, first, we're sending notices to traditional media, newspaper, TV station. We already contacted all of them, and we'll send out those notices. And then we will be posting notices and news on CISD social media through Facebook and Twitter, and Gustavo Rivelas will be helping me with that. And we have improved the website presence to include postings of nutritional information, monthly menus, department forms, policies, and links to helpful sites. I invite you all to visit our site.
Thank you.
To visit our food services site. It is very attractive. I've really enjoyed in being creative and building and stepping it up. It has been a challenging year for me, but next year, with all those challenges behind me, I will continue to step it up for kind of the independent school district. Do you all have any questions?
Yes, Drew.
Carol, I do have a question. Okay. How do we handle peanuts?
We are a peanut-free district, and that was before I came in. Okay?
And I've heard hard-boiled eggs.
No, we have actually the menu, the way, you know, we try to balance the menu when we were looking at it, is that we were going to have, for example, one day of the week, oatmeal, cream of wheat, and arroz con leche, rice and milk. And then another day, we're going to have a bread item. And then another day, egg item. And another day, specialty item. So we try to balance, you know, all the availability of different foods in the menu.
Thank you, and I appreciate your
thank you.
Ms. Quintana?
On the Northwestern College camp, you said that the kids are coming and going. So how long do you hold their lunch since?
Well, we're open for lunch. We have a time period that we're open for lunch, but because we know that that happens, we wait for students.
Oh.
We wait for them.
So what time frame are you looking at? Does one come from UTEP?
Right, 11:30 to 1:30. So it's a 2-hour frame. And if students, like I talked to the manager, and the manager stated to me that there are some students that sometimes come in a little later, and she says, I hold their lunch, they tell me, and she says, you know, there's students that happens almost every day or every other day. She says, we hold their lunch, we already know who they are. And so, again, you know.
And, okay, let's say in the last week, they still have a choice. Or they just get whatever's
left. One of the things that's going to happen with this menu options is that the managers are going to have to balance what the students are going to be eating. So what I'm developing, as a matter of fact, I thought about it this last week sometime during my sleep, and I got up and drew it up in this booklet, by the way, a plan for them to say, okay, this is the meals as we're providing, and that way the history will tell them what to provide so they won't be running out of food.
Question. I was looking at your survey. It's also a survey. I love numbers. What's breakfast pizza?
It's a pizza with sausage and cheese.
You don't recall? Never got breakfast pizza. I was just in college.
You would just make it with pepperoni and cheese.
I'm just wondering what breakfast pizza is. Thank you. That was good information.
Any other questions? Just the major concern I have is, of course, that not just we don't have a full-fledged kitchen, making sure that we provide the best education. Hopefully, we'll start construction within that soon, so that will alleviate that. It's a major concern.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're doing everything we can to make it, even with the facilities they have, to make it as pleasant for them. And it is pleasant. As a matter of fact, they were outside dining out. They have tables. The principal has table with umbrellas, and I sat outside and I talked to them. So it's a pleasant little area. It is pleasant.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Item 5B is the demographics report, and that has been withdrawn from by administration. I don't believe the contract with Dr. Wachtel was set up yet, so we didn't call him in to make the presentation. Item 6 is the consent agenda, and administration recommends approval as presented.
Does anybody have any items that they want to pull before we actually start?
I do, B.
Okay, item B.
R. I just had a question on R. So that's it.
Okay, does Quintana want to pull? I have several, so I'm going to go with H, I, K. I think it might just be K.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
And Ms. Searles goes first with item B.
Dr. Galavis, I had called and actually talked to Ms. Aguirre about the warrant list as I do every single month. Had the questions for it, and I have gotten the answers back. No call, no communication.
I have not received all the responses, but I will get that by Thursday afternoon.
Ms. Aguirre, it would be really helpful. I know we've gone through this many times. Okay. There was no question. Nobody said, I wonder if Mrs. Searles is going to want to ask questions. You know, you can guess the probable answer, yes. And that the answer is going to, you know, probably need to be done. I would really appreciate it personally. I think the time to read it, if your office would take a little extra time and get it back to the board.
I will.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now take us to, can I get a
thousand? I move to approve the attendance financials and warrant list in the amount of $2,529,111.24.
Do I have a second? I have a motion and a second. Hearing no discussion, Tony, can you pull the board?
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes.
And I'll take this to item H, which is Mr. Gatlin.
Board President Rodriguez, members of the board, Dr. Delavis, placed before you tonight an item for approval for the vendors list expected to exceed the guidelines of local policy CH. I would entertain any questions you might have on it.
The question I have, first question, so these people are already exceeding the $50,000 threshold within?
They're not exceeding now. They are expected to exceed it for the year, yes.
And these are cooperatives?
They're all under purchasing cooperatives. They're the items that we use on a day-to-day basis from vendors that we use, and they're all under purchasing cooperatives. If you remember, I brought this to you back in February. I do this every year, but I brought it back to you this July to make it more in alignment with our fiscal year. So we'll do this every July instead of February like we were doing it.
Now, are we as well looking at other areas, whether it's quotes or something, just to make sure we're getting...
Yes, any item, let's say it's a single purchase, if we're going to buy anything from these vendors that's going to exceed $10,000 in one single purchase, we'll still bring that to the board for approval. This is for our day-to-day items, like our Office Depot items for our office supplies and stuff like that, that we buy, you know, district-wide, you know, small portions at a time, but over the year they will exceed the $50,000.
Are we assessing, like, and I guess by purchasing, saying, okay, you know what, we're exceeding these areas every year, is there anything that we should look at, whether it's district-wide, let's say it's paper, to say, okay, we have to... see how much we're actually using each year, and then go out and look at it to see if that's cheaper than the actual cost.
We could do that as soon as I get my assistant. Hopefully we can spend a little more time evaluating stuff like that. This time, you know, this makes it easier for us right now. It does meet all the purchasing requirements of the state and federal government. So we are meeting the purchasing guidelines. But yes, there are some items that we might be able to save, but compared to the way these purchasing co-ops work, I mean, we're getting the same discount that the El Paso Independent School District does or any other large district in the state of Texas. So we could go out for bid and do some comparisons if we want. We can sure do that.
I just want to make sure that we're, checking.
Sure. I do double check pricing when I see, like, if we're buying something from, say, Pencil Cup versus Office Depot or one of the other office supply companies. I do compare prices on a regular basis once in a while to make sure that we are taking the best price.
Is there any questions regarding?
Yeah, I have a question. So for these particular vendors, do other districts go out to bid, or are they doing what we're currently doing? They just allow it to be exceeded every year?
Some of the districts are using the Region 19, some of the smaller districts, especially when they don't have a large purchasing department. I mean, it's just not possible to do it if you have a small team. But some of the bigger districts that do go out, but they still use some of the co-ops too, because they know that they're very good prices.
In terms of securing a contract for the year, they would definitely do a bid and go out.
Oh, yes, they do.
Thank you.
If there's no other questions, can I get a motion to approve?
I move to approve the vendors expected to exceed the guidelines of local policy CH.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Hearing no discussion. Tony, will you pull the board?
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Take this to H. And it's pretty much the same thing on the purchasing cooperative now and the food service vendor. Just making sure. And I guess a way to gauge it is, of course, if it's going to be higher than the $10,000 purchase with anyone, then we should apply. I guess coming up with a systematic approach when it says, okay, you know what, it's over $10,000, it's going to be more, and we'll provide those three quotes. You know, but if it's five pencils here and then, or five boxes here and then five. But I think what on the other side is we need to gauge, okay, if we're purchasing this amount of pencils or pins, is there a better way of doing it to save the district money? Right. That's something that we need to look at. So it was pretty much, I said that let me pull both of those out. But if there's no questions regarding this item.
I move to approve the extension of membership with the purchasing cooperative contract.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. No questions? No. Sorry, can you pull the board?
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes.
And that will take us to, I was confused on the paper. 59 is a purchase of college, because I'm on the one I'm looking at, is 63. That's tops for CMS. That's why I was a little confused on it. Yeah, I pulled K, so K goes to 59,
yes.
Which is there any backup information on it?
And what they're wanting to do, Mr. Rodriguez, is they're wanting to go ahead and allocate the $27,000 to Barnes & Nobles to purchase the level college-level textbooks as they're needed throughout the year.
Are they purchasing directly through the college? In other words, is Barnes & Noble the only vendor? Because before, UTEP had, like, the UTEP bookstore, and then you had an outside vendor, like CBA textbooks. And then you had the ability to purchase those, too.
Yeah, they are buying some directly from UTEP. Also, the community college is a part of this. Also, with the Barnes & Nobles, it's like an interlocal agreement. And that's what we're a member of that interlocal. That's what allows us to buy through this section.
So are we doing it with the community college or Barnes & Nobles?
Barnes & Nobles, but it's also an interlocal agreement with the community. So it's the same price that community college gets the textbooks for, we get for the same.
Is it more for textbooks or is it for like philosophical books that you're going to have?
This is mostly for textbooks, college-level textbooks.
And are we checking what's best? I would check that, you know, between CPA and UTEP. And now UTEP actually is outsourcing it to it. So are we looking at, is that the best way?
This is the recommendation that I received from the local Surrey College High Schools. I can do some double checking on that if you want.
Okay.
As far as I know, that most college level textbooks are all priced the same. Except unless you buy used ones. I don't know if we're able to buy used ones through this contract or not.
Okay. If we could just get into that and then
okay.
Get back to us.
I'll do that.
Is there any other questions?
Yes. And you were talking about used ones. Have you looked into buying used books? Or?
You know, I couldn't tell you that. Like I said, this is a recommendation. If we can, I don't know if they're buying used ones or not. I don't think Barnes & Noble sells used textbooks.
Are they pressed on this?
I'm sorry?
Are they pressed on this issue? Are they pressed on this issue?
I don't think they are. I mean, this is throughout the year. I couldn't say if they're needing to buy them right now before school starts or not. I couldn't tell you that.
We'll get some information. See.
I can definitely do some questions.
Yeah, I prefer to table it. Just one is, you know, it could be an open check. And so, what are we purchasing? How many books? You know, are we purchasing, you know, what type of content? Is it actual textbooks or is it books that are being read? And how many do we need? And not just a.
We'll provide a itemized list.
Okay, we can do that. I'll just so you know. Yeah, get that.
And you're saying the prices are about the same, but you know it'd be nice if you could check to see
sure.
if they are.
Are we required to buy it through Barnes & Noble? It's unlikely that because we're tied with EPCC that we're required to.
You can buy it. No, we're not required to. The only issue is if we go over $50,000 for the year, we have to use one that's either gone out for bid by us or whoever it's. I don't think they're going to exceed the $50,000. This is for $27,000. That's what they have in their budget. That's what they're holding down.
So it has a cooperative, but it could come back and say, okay, you know, the actual, I guess, gauging how many, you know, is it 30 textbooks or not 30 textbooks? And
I would think by now they should have their class schedules. They should know who's enrolled in them. So I think we can get that list.
Okay. Can I get a motion to table this to the next? The special or
I move to table item K, purchase of college level textbooks from Upper Surrey College High School until next month.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Do I have any other discussion? Hearing none.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Okay, and the next item, which is the purchase of desktop computers for Gunnfield Middle School. So my thing here is I saw the purchase of laptops for computers at Northwest Early College, and I saw the process. And first, I want to thank you for providing the actual cost-benefit analysis. I think it helps us a lot. So I want to thank you for that. The question I have here is, I know on the laptops for Natchez, we went local. So here we have a bid that's a comparison. You have one that we're going that's not local. And then you have, I believe, the other two are local.
Actually, all three are local companies.
Okay, my thinking is, when I look at the billing, I see one from Española, New Mexico, which is good.
Yeah, they do have an office here in El Paso. We actually have a sales rep that actually has a student in our district, as a matter of fact.
And then you have, where's Gov Connections? Because here you have Rockville, Maryland, and then you have the other one, which is Bob Fleshman in El Paso, Texas. So,
yeah, GovConnect does have a Plan B, has an office here in El Paso, and so does GovConnect, but their billing headquarters are in the other locations.
They do have offices, so yes, in other words, they're getting back to the local.
Yes.
Okay. And I guess if we could look at, what I want to look at is, you know, we've talked about in construction costs, especially the bonds have said, you know what, especially the community said, we want you to go with local people so they can get back to the community, whether it's the employees or not. And so if we could come up with some type of, rating sheet of saying, okay, these people are local, they're not. And then, you know, you don't want to, maybe a certain percentage difference, whether it's 2, 3, 5, saying, okay, these people are within that range, but they pay local taxes, it's best that we give it to them more. They're in El Paso instead of giving it to somewhere in Maryland or something.
I could put that as an item on the cost benefit analysis.
Yeah, corporate office, local office, kind of thing.
So I guess in the future, and I don't have a problem going with this right now, but if that way we can analyze.
Okay.
Yeah. It's $20 difference. So. Okay. Do I have a motion?
I move to approve purchase of desktop computers for Kennesaw Middle School.
I'll second.
I have a motion and second to approve desktop computers for Kennesaw Middle School. And hearing no discussion, Tony, can you pull the board?
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Thank you. I had a question on school uniforms for Garcia Elementary School beginning in the 2013-2014 school year. I'm so sorry, I should have asked this in the committee meeting. Two questions, really. How are you going to notify parents of this change?
We're going to notify them through a mail out and also through the school messenger through the call out.
Okay.
And as they come and register their parents, they'll be registering on the 13th and 14th who haven't already registered, so we'll notify them then. We also have a new student orientation on the 15th of August, so we'll notify those parents then. And then we have open house on the 22nd of August before school starts, so we can notify the parents then.
You'll have samples, obviously, for them to see.
Yes, we'll have the vendors who've already contacted, who have agreed to sell the shirts. They will be available.
And there's currently no cost to the district?
There is none. There's none. None of our staff are handling the money involved with the shirts at all.
Perfect. That was my other, I should have asked, I'm sorry. Thank you very
That's
much.
That's okay.
Can I get a motion to approve this?
I move to approve the school uniforms for Garcia Elementary School beginning in the 2013-14 school year. And I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second. Hearing no discussion. Was there any other questions? Tony, can you pull the board?
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'll take this to the next item.
Item 7A, discussion and possible action regarding hiring construction manager at risk for small projects, and that would be for JDE, DDE, GES, and VCE. Mr. Padilla.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, the board, President Rodriguez and Dr. Galvez. Today we're going to talk about the construction management risk versus the design bid build of the small projects with Bill Childers, Dan Davenport, Jose Damian, and Gonzalo Garcia Elementary School. Really what we want to talk about is the difference between the CM at risk, what we currently have now with contractor buyers, and also the possibility of going for design bid build, which is also known as hard bid for these projects, and the various pros and cons for each one of them. As we flip to the page titled Small Projects, the current situation, as you may know, we have an agreement that is formed with Byers Construction to complete CM at risk for the small projects. We have currently have complete the pre-construction phase. The design development is being completed. The construction documents are completed. And there is a GMP, or guaranteed maximum price, that has been given to us for these projects. As you know, the construction phase is on hold pending this decision or recommendation. As you know, there is a CM at risk. There's different processes involved with this, the construction phase. With CM at risk, really what the CMR, or buyers would be doing, would be qualifying, preparing subcontract bids, identifying the different types of scope, looking into different experience levels and safety records of various subcontractors, the insurance and the bonds of each one of the subcontractors. As you can see, there's other various items that the CMR would do, including conducting pre-bid meetings, advertisement to the subcontractors, ensuring there's adequate scope coverage. The CMR would conduct an open bid meeting. The CMR would prepare bid tabulations and presentations, and they would issue subcontracts and purchase orders for this work. They would also coordinate the mobilization of all the subcontractors to perform the work, and also with the vendors, coordinating with the vendors to supply different items that potentially that CMR would be installing. The CMR is to provide coordination management of the subcontractors and vendors. The advantages is the next page. We want to discuss a little bit about the CM at risk advantages of using that type of contract rather than the hard bidding process or the design bid build. With pricing, of course, you know that there is a guaranteed maximum price that is issued, which we have available for your review. With that GMP, as you know, the contractor is guaranteeing that that dollar amount will not be surpassed. And that any credits that or any savings, potential savings in that guarantee maximum price would be given back to the district. So the risk is minimized of not having to go over that dollar amount or going over our budget. The cost overruns are a responsibility of the CMR. And the project right now is currently within budget. We're about $12. If I have it correct, it's about $12 over budget, which is very, very minimal. Within the design, that we have minimized risk associated with complete knowledge of scopes and work existing with the existing conditions. So it's up to the CMR to discover all of the issues that need, all the existing issues that are present in order to plan for those and to budget for them, and those have been completed. The quality is increased due to complete knowledge of scopes of work, so there's no scope gap, there's minimized scope gaps in this type of CMR contract as compared to a design bid build. And I'll get into those disadvantages of the design to build a little bit later. The delivery, there's an increased speed of delivery due to close coordination with the design firm and the CMR. There's effective collaboration between the CISD, design professional, and CMR, and increased transparency due to costs and fees being openly communicated. This method discourages low bid subcontractors from bidding, resulting in increased quality of work and reduced conflict. the schedule. The CMR is at risk for schedule implications. It's not up to, it's compared to design bid build. The CMR would be responsible should any of those schedules not be met. The current anticipated schedule may conclude projects prior to the holiday season. So what we've done at the very end of this project, at the end of this packet, kind of lay out a schedule that we did, a preliminary schedule showing some of these projects completing before the holiday schedule, which would be Thanksgiving and Christmas. So most of the projects would be, some of the projects would be done by then and prevent any further delay because of those holidays. The quality control, right now the CMR, with this CMR type project contract, the CMR is at risk for quality control. And again, the CMR is at risk for scope gaps and errors. And safety, the CMR is at risk for safety. Some of the disadvantages for the CMR risk, during construction, CMR moves to the project general, as the project general contractor. Here, construction quality, design, completeness, and schedule and budget issues can arise. Adequate review of construction documents is essential to positive results. And another disadvantage of CMR is what you can consider a disadvantage is the 14% fee that they charge for those services. It's our experience and our knowledge that the 14% fee is actually a benefit to the school district because of the services that are provided that we are currently not able to provide. Next item here is we're going to talk a little bit about the design bid build process. With the design bid build process or the hard bid type contract.
Item B.
I'm sorry.
Are you on item B or item A?
Still within the same packet, the same here on this slide.
Okay.
We're talking about the design bid build process. Of course, the design, the CISD and design firms review the construction documents for accuracy of scope and try to reduce and eliminate scope gap. This is what the hard bid process, again, the bid. County Tioga Independent School District is responsible for qualifying the bidders, responsible for advertising the RFP and responding to RFIs, is responsible for qualifying bid results to minimize errors and omissions for board approval and County Tioga to award the contract and issue the notice to proceed after board approval and during the design bid build. The general contractor is built with a strict accordance with the contract documents, errors and omissions, require change order requests. Some of the advantages with design bid build, there is a competitiveness of qualified general contractors. It does provide some potential savings of some contractors wanting the job, so they're wanting to be able to perform the work, so they're willing to reduce their fees for getting those jobs. So there is a potential savings there, and there's also potential savings, and I'd like to stress that it's a potential savings of the 14% associated with the scheme and risk type contract. Disadvantages, design to build, pricing, competitiveness of GCs may result in scope gap, errors, and omissions, risk of GC submitting low bid to obtain the job, or being, and what we consider in construction industry is being change ordered to them. So they'll submit a proposal to the subcontractors, submit a proposal, or even the general contractor will submit a proposal based on a low number, knowing that they're going to get the job, and then later on, change ordering increases the cost of construction in order to recoup that low number that they put on the front end. So that is a risk, and then prices could continue to escalate. There is no guarantee on that, like a guaranteed maximum price. And the risk of receiving bids which are over budget, no guarantee in money savings. Again, we could go out to hard bid for this, and there is no guarantee that we would come under budget. At some point, we go out to hard bid, and there's a potential that we come in way over what we budgeted. In the design, there's low collaboration between the general contractor and the design firm. So you've got the GC working and the design firm working, and they both have separate interests. Both those interests are to look after themselves and not for the benefit of the County Independent School District as in the CMR type contract. And there's because of that, there's decreased quality due to low collaboration. And of course, risk, scope gap, errors, and omissions. The delivery, there's an increased time to complete projects due to design and bid timelines. Again, I'll at the very end I've formulated a draft schedule that will kind of show how much longer it would take to complete these projects due to the design and the bidding due to the bidding timeline, and the transparency is minimized as the general contractor is acting in self-interest, and so they're not willing to share that information with us, so we won't know exactly where they stand or how they are financially, increasing the amount just that they could go bankrupt, for example, just one example, run out of money before the project is completed. And again, that low bid risk resulting in decreased quality of the subcontractor's workmanship. We'll kind of skip down here. Of course, schedule. CISD is at risk for scheduling implications not called for in the contract documents as compared to a CMR, which would be that contractor responsibility to incorporate everything into their schedules. And that current schedule that I've laid out at the end of the pack would show that because of the delay in doing during the bidding process, it will extend well past, well into and past the holiday schedule, and the projects will not be turned in until 2014. And the quality, the CISD is at risk for quality control. Current facilities and transportation organization does not have the capacity for quality control at this time, and we rely heavily on our CMRs to do that quality control for us based on the construction documents. And if we go out for that hard bid, it will be up to Edgar and I to ensure that what is being designed is being built out in the field. And safety, CISD is at increased risk for regards to safety due to low bid results and incompetent general contractors and or subcontractors. And the last page here is at this time, the Facilities and Transportation Division recommends we continue with the CM at risk agreement with buyers. With regard to pricing, it's transparent, open communication of costs and fees. CISD is credited for project underruns, CMR responsible for project overruns. The design risk falls on the CMR. Regarding delivery, there's greater collaboration between CISD, GC, and design firm in the best interest of Quincy Independent School District. With regards to schedule, the project is allowed to continue, which will forego the two-month, which I've estimated, that's just an estimated, a two-month bidding phase for the design bid build type method. And the projects may conclude prior to the holiday season. Regarding quality, CMR is accountable for quality. The low bid risk is minimized with the use of qualified subcontractors who can complete the jobs and who are not selected based on the lowest price proposal. And safety, CMR is accountable for safety projects and operations. Qualified subcontractors are more likely to adhere to safety than low bid subcontractors. And a little bit more of the conclusion there, really just reiterated what I had stated on page before, and I'll flip to the last page. And unfortunately, this copy of the schedule that you've received does not show, however, I've estimated about 2 or 3 weeks of duration if we were to start next week. An additional 2 or 3 weeks it will take to do the hard bidding procedure, doing going out for RFQ, RFP, getting answers, RFIs answered, selecting a contractor, making sure that they're qualified, and then going over the proposals and finally issuing the contract for that bid.
Any questions?
Yes.
Go ahead. This is the new sheet.
I have
this is going to be the new sheet. It's, is it work in progress?
Oh, this is a work in progress, yeah. Yeah.
Considering the budgets that are, we are notified that we're not correctly stated, how can we be confident with I want to go with the CMR risk, just so you know. What I want to get assured of is the budgets that are set were the ones that were published to the community, and that if there is a difference, obviously that we as a district will be transparent in publishing the differences of here's what was initially published, you know, moving forward. I know it's only, what, 13 projects, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
13 projects, it's a small amount, in fact. If you total it up, it's not much. Getting a GMP quickly, I would imagine we could get them fairly quickly, right?
We have one already.
You have one for all of them?
For this project, yes, sir.
Great. I just want to make sure that if the budget is being displayed to the public, that we show the differences. And that's really my biggest concern, because I'd err on the side of caution, as you are, with the set price, unknown price versus the unknown of design build. had I known, probably design build probably wouldn't have been put forward, but I just want to make sure that we publish that budget accordingly and that we're upfront with the community.
Mr. Chairman, what we did is that on the last page, when you have that same presentation, you will see the summary of the committed, of the promised budget that we have on those four campuses, and then you will see all the soft costs included in here, and it will show you that we're right on the budget, even now including the architectural fees and soft costs.
So, reading, and I'm looking at the same sheet, right?
So if you go, yes, that's correct. If you use
looking at GES, the budget that was presented
is $30,000.
That was presented and passed by
the
community, right?
That's correct.
The new number is $77,000.
That's correct. That's a published number based on BMAX estimate.
Published number?
That's correct.
What does that mean?
Published number is the one we use for the RFP, okay. The contractor basis fee on.
Okay.
Why is there a big deviation between that?
Yeah.
Was the plans either scaled back or was it?
Were the numbers, the initial budget numbers, were they underestimated?
If I remember correctly, Mr. Lagos, what happened there is that it had the irrigation system by itself, but now we're committing to have a new soccer field. So the number increased significantly because of that.
Why is the final GMP coming in at 36 if the soccer
field? Okay, well, the first column is the original budget. The second column was the RFP published number. The third column, it says construction cost. That's still not the GMP. The GMP will be adding the third column, which is A, mm-hmm. A, fourth column, which is B, of construction fees from the CMR. And then column C, which is of the building contingencies, which is adding 18%, not 14%.
Okay,
so those three numbers, that's the total GMP. What we're doing here is that we're including the architect fees and pre-construction expenses as soft cost, showing that we're considering every single expense now.
Were those not included in the estimated?
I guess the first column, is that correct?
No, the estimate that BMAC gave us, it's only construction only. Construction cost.
The construction cost, yeah. We had a total budget back in when we first went out for the loan of $30,000.
That's right.
We set $77,000 when they actually looked at the design, right? Or when they saw the construction, some of the design or the
that's right.
Plans. And then, so now we're getting the GMP from buyers at 36. Is that correct?
Construction cost.
So the exact
36 is construction cost. The GMP for buyers for that specific campus is at
55,
yeah, I'm sorry. It's construction cost is 27, that's correct.
Construction cost is 27?
Yes. You will see on the GMP that we're presenting tonight, you will see a breakdown of how much is the construction cost and the general conditions and the contingencies that we have.
Okay, so just on this item, I guess we'll discuss if we should go CMR or can you read that item?
Dr. Delavis, you've seen all these numbers, these wonderful numbers. Is there any input or recommendation you have at this point?
Talking to you. Yeah, thank you, Ms. Brilliant. This is his first day. Okay.
Yeah. It's a way to start.
Now, talking to Mr. Brilliant and Edgar, you're looking at initially the 14%. Would it be an actual saving 14%? And they were talking about guarantee that we're actually going to save that 14%, given the amount of responsibility that's going to go to CISD, that utilizes the personnel, that the time and effort to do this so we don't end up as it's designed with build we thought it'd be appropriate to the CMR put that out.
Okay. Yes, I have a follow up. So I'm essentially adding up A, B, C, D, and E to find out the total cost of GES, correct?
That's right.
The bond came in at $30,000 for GES. The total cost for that is $51,000. DDE, $432,000. It's $324,640 is the final cost, the soft cost and whatnot, design services. BCE, I have $118,000 budgeted initially. It's now $132,970. Then JDE is $146,500, and it cost out at $217,269.06. That detail is what I was looking for, the total amount, because what you've done here is you've spread it out, which is nice. I like to see the detail. But what I'd like to see is just what's it going to cost, what's the new amount, because the new amount really is the $51,000, as much as it's $36,000. It really isn't. It's the $51,000.
Sure.
Yeah, initially the bond should have been projected correctly. It should have been estimated correctly.
Including
we know now. We need to have, correct estimate. Thank God we have a great estimator on staff now. So the next bond will be perfect. But that's what I'm looking for is to make sure that we see our original. Remember we talked about that, our original, and really now our new sort of budget. And it's great that we have a GMP tonight that we can move forward with because the total of A, B, C, D, and E, you did include it at the bottom, but you didn't include it on the campus by campus to show the variance, because that'll give us, and then again, the community a little bit more transparency as to, we grossly underestimated initially, and now this is the way we should have done it. And this is by no means a reflection upon you. You guys have been nothing but great. Just that's the only thing I would have wanted.
I have a question. Okay, the question I have is here, we projected 432, let's say, on DDE. On the other ones, we knew we were going to be over budget, and it's been known for a while. Now, on DDE, it looks like we're under budget. Mm-hmm. And so, I guess my concern is, are we making sure that the scope of work and what was promised to the voters is actually both align with that? In other words, are we going to come back? Because it looks like, we knew we were going to over budget and this one's under budget, so why
the difference?
Yeah, why the difference? Do we know?
Well, we have an over design. Some of the projects we included more than we were promised to the community, to the voters. And what we did is that we removed every single option in from the plans. So now we're making sure, and we went over the list that was promised to the voters. We went over the list to make sure that we're going to construct or provide those projects. Like, for example, Deanna Davenport, we promised a soccer field, and the architect designed three new soccer fields with the three new irrigation systems. So we went back and removed two of them, and we're keeping one. So
with that variance there, initially, did it include three soccer fields?
No. Now these prices, they're already.
I guess, let me just real quick. Can we decide on this item first? Let's ask if we want to go CMR or not, and then we could put in the next item and then bring out the GMP, so that way we could actually see what the alternates are and all that. Is that okay with the board? Yeah.
I have one question before we do that. That's fine. I just heard that the architect designed three soccer fields for us. We didn't ever ask them to, right?
No. Not that I know.
Who's the architect?
Dimensions Marshall.
Why would they have them? They just decided they were
I don't know if they got a direction from somebody else. I was still not here. Okay. When I got here, the design was
finished. I'm not really pinning this, why did they do that, pinning this on you? But what I'm thinking is this. That's pretty underhanded to just come out of the blue and decide we're going to design three soccer fields, when indeed nobody ever asked them to design three soccer fields. And the next question is, do we have to pay them to design the three more than had they just used one?
we are going to pay the architects, it's being paid out of the construction cost.
But with the
so
cost?
The construction costs, it's lower than the original scope. I'm guessing it's going to be adjusted. Just like if it goes up, like for example, Country High School, it's going to increase construction costs. It's going to, their fee is going to be higher. So I'm guessing I will need to read the contract and we will need to review that. But I'm guessing if it's going to be lower now, it's going to be adjusted.
I'd like to know specifically how much they're charging us on those one soccer field they designed for you. Like the exact price that we're going to pay them. Okay. And did they charge us for time on task for three of them instead of for the one? Because I find that really offensive. If they charged us for time on task to design three, all we ever asked for was one, all we ever needed was one, I think they owe any of the funds back to us because we never asked for them. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
And if we did ask for them, who did?
Yeah, and that's what.
Yeah, and who did and not, oh, I can't remember.
Yeah.
I want to see the email from them. I want to see where they got the go-ahead, exactly, the direction. I find it exceedingly offensive if they would charge us for something we never asked for. And I'd like to see that by next month, please.
I agree. I just think some of this stuff is actually what we need to do. And hopefully you can go back to the minutes in the past because there's been concerns with those areas, especially Diana Davenport, and it might have been more so. Because we need to clarify what it was.
Exactly.
And the reason why I'm saying is because I know there's been discussion in the past, especially for Deanna Davenport, because every time we put a soccer field in there, it just happens there. And so that was a major concern, and that was discussed. So I think we need to make sure, you know, what was the scope of the work on the original part, and then where did it get there? And if it did go to a different area, then how did we get there and why? And so I think those questions need to be asked. So the question that I wanted to ask here is, okay, are we gonna go with CMR? And one of the questions I have is, how are we making sure that these, we've already qualified for contractor, and how are we qualifying the subcontractors to making sure we're getting the quality of work done?
We're not qualifying subcontractors. I don't know if there is a procedure in place to qualify subcontractors, or
I guess are we just going to analyze it once we get the GMP and say, okay, these people can do work. Ultimately,
it's up to the general contractor to qualify the subcontractors to ensure that those subcontractors under the contractor complete the work in a safe manner for the proposal that they told.
The district is supposed to, my understanding is, qualify those subcontractors to say, okay, this person has qualified. What if we get somebody that, you know, like what has happened recently, are unqualified, did bad work, what if they were doing work on that? In other words, how are we qualifying those subcontractors and saying, okay, these people are qualified to do this?
It's one of the procedures and practices that we hope to incorporate into the process of moving forward from this point forward, and I don't have an answer for you right now, but I will have something for you soon.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, that I'd like to approve hiring construction manager for a small project.
I mean, that's just a major concern, is how do we know the subcontractors, and I guess we could go to GMP. The other question, if I might, before we do have a motion, is, are we able to look at possibly, you know, some of the stuff that is a major concern that needs to be done right away before school starts, and then looking at some of the other stuff instead of looking at the overall, all small projects?
You're talking regarding these smaller projects,
right?
Talking about completing things, completing some of the items that are, for example, interior, and then focus on the exterior stuff at a later time.
And safety, let's say something is a severe concern where we have to address it right away. Have we looked at those and saying, okay, the
this is something we could, we need to do now.
And are you talking about these specific small projects items, to the things that need to be completed as soon as possible? That hasn't been looked at in detail at this time, but that definitely is a possibility to do, to single out the items that are most critical for life safety concerns and complete those immediately, and then hold off on the rest of the items and investigate a little further as to the subcontractors completing that work and scopes of work and the GMP for those scopes of work that can be completed. Yes.
Just a question. I know that we have a motion on the floor. I'd rather go with a known cost at this point, and we looks like we have a known cost with the GMP. I applaud you. You're under by $12.54. It's great. So with that, I'm just going to go ahead and second that motion to go ahead and approve the CMR for small projects.
I have a motion and a second. Do I have any other questions? Hearing none.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
The next item.
Item B, discussion and possible action regarding buyer's guaranteed maximum price for Davenport, Garcia, Jose Damian, and Bill Childress Elementary Schools.
I'm going to turn on the page to exhibit number one. Well, first of all, you will see a summary of the projects on the first page, which was a promise of the orders showing Bill Childress two projects. Sienna Davenport has eight projects, Jose Damian two projects, and San Garcia has a new soccer field. And then we'll have a GMP on the third page, exhibit number one. Number 4.2 shows Bill Childress Elementary School. You'll see that we have project number 21 and 26 under bond commitment. It says irrigation system, grass area, and paint campus, which is pretty much soccer field with the irrigation system, and some interior painting. You'll see under GMP base bid, the cost of construction, it's $88,211. General conditions, $7,000 construction fees. Contractor's contingency and owner's contingency, which is a fixed fee price, it's a 2%. You have the total GMP for 102, and the original budget is 110, so we have $7,000 on the budget. Are there any questions on that specific capital as far as the scope of work?
On the scope of work, I go back to the quality of the, what's our remediation if the project isn't done? You can guarantee the price, but project's not done to the satisfaction of, I guess, it would be you, Mr. Boychuk, correct?
That's correct.
If it's not to your satisfaction, what happens?
We'll need to go back and force the contractor to fix the
So it falls back on the general contractor?
No, that's correct. Right. Either will always fall on the CMR, not on their subcontractors.
Perfect. That's it.
Any other questions?
Hi, Jim. On the GMP we've had in the past, and we just have the actual area, and then we have the guaranteed maximum price. Do we have the actual backup information on that? Of saying, you know, this is the guaranteed maximum price, but these are the qualified. Or do you have that information, I guess, buyers?
You mean like a spreadsheet showing the subcontractor doing the soccer field, the subcontractor pricing the painting?
Yes. That analysis? Do you have?
I don't have a copy of the message. There's also a subcontractor's proposals. I don't know if that was attached as well.
No.
There's no subcontractor. So that's not provided? And do you currently have that with you, or we can make it?
That's right, I have a copy.
Can we get that to the Thursday package?
Yes.
Thank you. Because it seems like all this stuff is straightforward.
What I've had in the past is, okay, this is our guaranteed maximum price. It's going to cost $2 million. This is the subs that are recommended, and this is the price that actually is going to be used. And then you tell us, okay, this is, and that's where we get our GMP. And so,
I would have preferred the backup information.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
I'm looking at Deanna Davenport, once again, back to those soccer fields, which are not fields. They are field, right?
One field, that's right.
And when I read this, I see upgrades. We don't have a soccer field there, so there really can't be.
There is one existing soccer field, which is pretty much locks.
Uh-huh.
That was a supposed existing soccer field, which is not really.
No, it's like a court.
Yes, that's right.
So that's why it's called upgrade, because there's
sort of something
there. Okay. But it's going to be in a different place, correct?
That's great. Going to be right behind you, the basketball.
Yeah, over by the little kids playground on the southern side.
That's right.
That's all. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Have you already looked at that list? Anybody from the district?
We opened the bids together, but we do have a list of subcontractors. We didn't attach the list of subcontractors on this GMP.
But has the district looked at those individuals?
Yes.
And say, because, you know, the construction manager manages a project, but that's the district that says, okay, you know what, make sure that these people are qualified, this one.
We did review that together on the bid opening. And I think in one of the cases, we removed one of the contractors.
I have another question.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm just going to use Deanna Davenport as an example. Got ADA door hardware for $104,000. This was one of the things that I had asked Ms. Aguirre in the warrant list about that I so wanted for tonight. I can see district-wide in this month's warrant list where we've been paying for rekeying or door, I can't remember the exact thing, has to do with door hardware. And so my question to her was, why were we doing that when indeed it was all covered? And the bond issue, it seems somewhat redundant.
Well, this is going to be just for the life safety fire ready doors. So it's not including any internal doors?
No. The life safety fire ready doors are 72,000. This one's 88 little harder for 104,000.
What are you?
I'm looking on the page in our book. It's a page.
Oh, on the original one?
Uh huh. I don't know if it's original or not original. It's all I've got to look at. I'm looking at ADA door hardware for $104,000. And then on down, you've got life safety fire rated for $72,000. That's not what I'm asking about. It was one of the things that I asked. I can see in the warrant list that the maintenance department has apparently been doing something with the doors.
Since what? Well, I think since I'm not really involved with the maintenance department, I'm not really sure.
No, I know that you're not. It's more to Mr. Padilla and to Ms. Aguirre that, you know, how is this coming together or how is it overlapping and being redundant and costly?
That's a great question. We'll provide an answer.
Thank you,
Dr. Kelly.
Just
there's back at
which is clear. Yeah, just clear. Because I know somebody's got an answer. Somebody knows exactly. It's just that I don't think the board has that answer.
By then,
thank you, Dr. Chad. And thank you, Mr.
So, and I guess the individual that we have is in a GMP for the MPM budget.
I move to accept buyer's guaranteed maximum price for Davenport, Garcia, Jose Damian, and Bill Children's Self-Interest.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Do I have any discussion? Hearing none. Sorry, can you go ahead?
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes.
I would like to I would like to mention that we have a schedule already in place and the contractor's ready to go. We've been meeting with the principals. We met with Ms. Moreno last week to go over the schedule of the waxing of floors because the contractor, assuming that they were going to be approved on tonight's board meeting, should not be interfering with their schedule as well. So we're only going to start right away.
When do you expect the projects to be done?
Excuse me?
When do you expect all the projects to be done?
Well, they're going to concentrate on that in your opinion, but they should be done all before classes start.
All these projects, all 13 projects?
The small campuses, yes.
Can you provide a...
The only thing that will stay pending is going to be the fire-related doors because those are long lead items.
Okay, if you could be so kind as in our Thursday packets, so just keep us up to date on these projects.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just one more thing.
And
I
want to
thank you, John. A lot of this, we've been improving a lot of our process. So I just want to thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for making it shine.
Thank you. Yeah.
And also, thank you, Mr. Padilla. That was a wonderful first day report.
We have your picture in the back. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Just real quick, I'm looking at having a board workshop between staff and us when it comes to the full bond program. So that way we're completing, we should be, you know, with GAT charts, with where we're at on the budget, where was the budget at, where we're at, and if we're on budget, the low budget.
Any supplementals that we added to it?
Anything else, yeah. So we'll have a workshop, and then they'll have that same workshop with CPAC. And then I'm looking at doing a combined workshop between the board and CPAC. So that way, the board needs to be in communication. And then we'll try to do this once a year, so that way we get pretty much be on board. Is that okay with CPAC? Yeah. Mr. Solis?
We did make the recommendation.
Yeah. But I think what I want to do is have a full workshop, the whole bond program, you know, the whole, have the architects in where we're at, have the administration on each project, and then have any discussion, you know, have a board workshop, and then have that same workshop with the bureau's committee, and then have a board and CPAC joint meeting, so that way we could discuss if there was any issues, and then that way there could be communication, at least once a year.
That would be great.
Thank you.
You're really welcome.
So, hearing that, and thanks CPAC, I know y'all don't get paid like us, but thank you all. So that will take us to the next item.
Item C, discussion and possible action to develop policy related to the publication of final audit reports.
I think this would be moved after executive session, Mr. Blanco.
That's fine.
Is that okay with the board?
Yes.
Okay. Just real quick, we're looking at putting our audits online, so we just need to have some legal advice on this. And thank you. Congratulations, Mark.
Item 8 is executive session, and the time is now 7:41 p.m., and the meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code, Sections 551-071, 072, and 074, for discussion of real property with legal counsel, discussion of personnel matters to include evaluation of interim superintendent, and to hear recommendations for principal of Kenny 2 Elementary School and director of career and technical education, and for discussion regarding new assistant principal for Kenny 2 High School.